Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast.
Didn't go good, did it? Joe Flacco looked good until it was just that one, and sometimes that's all it takes. Very, very interesting takes. I was just looking at a headline of an article. Let me see if I can find this thing so that I don't screw this up. But it says, a good look at the offensive line play. Offensive line data helps explain the Browns' run-pass decisions. So it's not Kevin Stefanski, guys. It's the offensive line data. Okay, so anyway, we'll look at that and see if somehow or another we can explain why, once again, we passed the ball 48 fucking times. And I don't know how many times we ran, but I'm sure it was half of that. We'll be looking at that, too, on TBF, a Browns fans podcast, where we examine the Cleveland Browns and their latest plight. In spite of themselves still in the sixth seed for the playoffs, how long can we stay there? That is the question. So let's get into it, boys. So did you watch that game?
What a game it was.
What was? It was a hell of a game. Kind of got away from us there at one point. The Browns marched down the field miraculously in the first drive like they're supposed to. You know, we've been used to having disasters happen on the first drive of the game. It turned out that the Browns and the Rams, were the two teams with the lowest amount of points scored on the first drive and or the most amount of points allowed on the first drive, depending on which side of the ball they were playing at the time.
Well, right. We scored
and they didn't. Say that again.
We had two good offensive drives.
One of them being the first drive.
I'm glad Flacco took responsibility for the one fart.
Well, I don't know that it was a brain fart. I think if Amari Cooper had been in, the receiver would have fucking been where he was supposed to. Okay? And it clearly wasn't. Yeah, Flacco threw the ball anyway. And he kind of probably saw before he let it go that he's not going where he's supposed to. Okay. And that was a throwing to a rookie instead of a pro issue. There was a communication issue. And yeah, Flacco fell on the sword. That's fine. But it does let you know as a Browns fan what you've been seeing has been terrible fucking quarterback play. And then you just got a semblance of fucking decency shown.
Yeah, it's the best quarterback play we've seen since Tennessee.
All fucking season. Don't even try it. You saw fucking half a football out of your football god that never worked out. Okay, that's the best half of football he's played so far. Okay, I'm great. That's great. Right now, we got a guy who can clearly do the job. On 2 weeks of uptake, he came out there and looked better than any quarterback we've seen play under center in Cleveland this fucking year. Okay? And I'm not saying Deshaun Watson, uninjured, wouldn't have done better over time. But he was just getting there, and we don't know where the there he was getting to was.
And I'll say this, it's definitely something to feel good about. I just don't think you start DTR, you got to start Flacco. He's on the practice squad. So let's see DTR is not on the practice squad, but I don't think I've anointed him quite yet.
Okay, DTR is not on the practice squad. DTR is not available.
No, Flacco is back on the practice squad for now.
Well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, I know.
Unless you're going to cut PJ Walker.
Right. Okay. And I don't think there's any entertainings of starting DTR. At least I hope not.
Why? Okay. Guys, I don't know what team you've been watching. Okay. But this is a guy, and I'm talking about the head coach of the football team now, who he said that going into the week in L.A. that Joe Flacco was the number two quarterback.
Okay? Right.
Joe Flacco played admirably, you might say, but he lost the game.
When
DTR went out, he was the starting quarterback. Okay. Okay. All he did was get concussed and go through protocol. He certainly hasn't done anything to lose the job, boys. I don't know what kind of science fiction is going on amongst Cleveland Browns fans that Flacco's got to start. We're doomed without Flacco. Okay. I don't know that. We're doomed if we don't start playing fucking defense and tackling. And let's look at this offensive line data. Offensive line data helps explain the Browns' run-pass decisions by Jared Mueller. The Cleveland Browns are 7-5, but some fans believe they would be 9-3, maybe 10-2, if head coach Kevin Stefanski had just run the football more often. The Browns are tied for the most attempts in the NFL at 390. The most passing attempts in the NFL, the Browns, with the quarterback problems they have, okay?
With no receivers, yeah. Except Amari.
While still being in the top 10 in passing attempts, the eighth overall, I'm sorry, with 435. I'm sorry, they are top in rushing attempts, boys, okay, with 390. While still being in the top 10 in passing attempts with 435. A big reason Cleveland's offense can be high in both categories is the lack of explosive plays. But Stefanski's ability to cobble together long drives out of short plays. It is somewhat surprising that they are top 10 in both attempts while being tied for the most turnovers in the league.
Right.
There are a lot of reasons, both real and pontificated, why the Browns haven't been successful running the football. Just 135.1 yards per game, despite leading the league in carries. Losing running back Nick Chubb and offensive line Jack Conklin early in the year. Top the list, but inconsistent play at the quarterback position and losing offensive lineman Jedrick Wills for the last few weeks play a role as well. Another overly simplified but important reason is that Cleveland's offensive line is just much better at pass protecting than run blocking. Here is a clearer picture of the two offensive line graphs. And the Browns are straight dead fucking middle of the league in run blocking, and the Browns are the fifth best team in the NFL in pass protection. Both ESPN and PFF have the Browns well above the average score as a pass blocking unit and slightly below average as run blockers. With Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Joe Flacco or both starting the rest of the year, it may be easy to say that Stefanski's game plan should be more run heavy. When the stats say they are tied for the most rushing attempts and the data says their offensive line is much better at pass protectors, that logic starts to look a little more shaky. So, tied for the most rushing attempts despite an offensive line that is much better as pass protectors, do you think Stefanski should change his approach to run more, or should they throw the ball even more often? That is. Yeah. Yeah. I know we've gone from seemingly trying to justify Kevin Stefanski to enter into stupid land. No, let's pass more often.
Right. Cause they threw 43 times last week. So five more times will do the trick.
Well, wait, hold on a minute. They threw 44 times this week and ran 23 times.
Oh, I thought you said
keep pulling. If they keep pulling numbers off like this, they're not going to be tied for the most rushing attempts anymore after a couple weeks, right?
Right.
The passing. Oh, listen. When we had less turmoil at the quarterback position, less, when Deshaun Watson was still, you know, hopeful to come back from a shoulder injury and then came back for three games, we were still not balanced, but we weren't passing the ball 44 times a game when we had Deshaun Watson in.
Nope.
Okay. Know what to tell you, but there has been an evident statistical skew toward the passing game since we started the rookie and then the Flacco. And again, for Joe Flacco's part, it was great, but kind of hard to post. Okay. It's hard to get 60 or more percent completion when you're passing the ball 44 times and your receivers are dropping the ball every fucking where.
Right.
And you get two touchdowns that you threw for, which is great. But that one, so the low completion percentage, 23 out of 44, which is a hair over 50%. Okay. That's like 51.8%, something like that. And two touchdowns, that's great. Throw a pick in there, and what does that get you? A 75.4 rating. Of course, when the opposing team gets just one less completion out of seven less attempts, gets three touchdowns, not two, and no interceptions, he posts a 110.1.
Right. Wow. Yeah, defense didn't show up. We really missed Denzel Ward. And Garrett's playing with one arm, pretty much.
No, absolutely not. I watched him. He was full two-armed during that game. I don't know how much it hurt him or not, but he had full movement. He wasn't favoring that side. Miles Garrett himself said it's not even bothering him. Okay?
Okay.
He was consistently double-teamed all game.
Yeah.
Okay? And they did their job. They were effective, and they neutralized that aspect of our defense. So what I guess I got guys telling me is that the only other thing we got going on this defense is Denzel Ward, because everybody else falls apart when he's not on the field.
Yeah, one could construe that from that, I guess. Yeah. So here's the thing with Joe on the practice squad. That's protocol. So that's what you're supposed to do. Someone can sign him. So do we keep him there, or do we go with what worked seemingly better minus the interception?
You're talking about Kevin Stefanski. I wish I had a view into this man's mind, because it doesn't make sense. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You send Joe back to the practice squad. That's not what you're supposed to do. That's what they did. And it's what it was absolutely logical that they would do, because they've already used there are three elevations of P.J. Walker. They can't put him back on the practice squad.
No.
Okay? They had to sign him to the 53-man. They can elevate Flacco twice more. And then they have to take up another roster spot, and they're going to have to carry three quarterbacks on the fucking roster.
Right.
So they're trying to have some fucking flexibility on the roster, because they got other injuries they got to compensate for.
Yeah. It's perplexing.
But yes, in fact, somebody could sign you, like the Jets. They could cherry pick Joe Flacco off of our practice squad.
Now, here's the thing. Do we have the ability to counter that offer, or?
I don't know how that works. The player has to agree to it.
Right.
To be signed off practice squad, you can't just sign a player and say, hey, you're going to fucking Milwaukee, goddammit. Packers signed your ass.
Did you get the impression Joe was kind of happy to be here?
Joe Flacco's never really been one of those guys who you can read on the face.
A couple things I know about him, he's a family guy. It's not about the money for him this time, is what was said about him, and just wants to play, you know.
All that feel-good shit that they tell you about guys that come in like that, okay? I'm not saying it's false. I'm saying it's errata. It doesn't matter, okay?
He's so frugal with his money. He still has, if I'm not mistaken, 3/4 of his signing bonus when he signed from college to the pros.
That's great. Then he's a fucking millionaire. Wow. Then he's a fucking millionaire, and he doesn't need the money. I get that. It has absolutely no effect on what to do about Joe. Is it good to keep Joe? Should you start Joe? Any of that. He's a family guy, and he's not doing it for the money. That's great. I there's a lot of people that at his age, quarterbacks, who would say, yeah, that's fucking stupid. I'd have got some more money out of their ass. It's very few times in lifetime of a player that you can really kind of get, a little extra squeeze on to a team because they really need you. And that's when.
This is that situation, is it not?
I'm just saying. And the one thing I will say that I was happy for in the terms of Flacco and his ability and desire to keep doing this was they kept him relatively clean. They didn't get a lot of sacks on Joe.
Yeah, I thought the line protected pretty well. I thought
He protected Joe Jones pretty well, too. He got the ball out of there, okay? He was getting that ball out of there.
Yeah, and it looked, the balls that he threw looked well thrown.
Night and fucking day to anything we've seen a quarterback, again, anything we've seen a quarterback throw in Cleveland this year, with the exception of a halftime of football. Out of Deshaun Watson, the best balls you've seen thrown have been by Joe Flacco. Those were pretty. I mean, he's got a spiral that don't quit.
Yeah. There was one pass I felt could have been a little ill-advised, the one where he got Amari Cooper, and he had him. He was threading the needle, basically, two defenders, and then Amari got concussed on the way down.
But he made that catch, right? Yeah.
Did he make the catch?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think he made. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Oh, he dropped that.
So, but other than that, man, I felt Joe did pretty well.
Okay.
Joe has a great handoff and a great play action handoff too.
Well, that's a play action fake. It's not a handoff.
You know what I'm saying. You knew what I was saying.
Yeah, but I was clarifying it for people that might be listening to this piece of shitty little podcast.
Well, the key was fake handoff.
No, the key was play action fake. It's not called a fake handoff. It's called a play action fake. That's why it's called play action.
All right.
And you could take any modern quarterback and their play action fake and tell me how good it is. But I saw Steve DeBerg play this game. I saw Boomer Esiason play this game, and they don't come close.
You know who has a pretty good one? Believe it or not, you'll say and think I'm crazy, but Lamar Jackson.
It doesn't matter. It could be good. It's a relative term, Hugh. Lamar Jackson's got a great play action fake. Unless you compare him to Steve DeBerg or Boomer Esiason, and then he sucks.
Right.
Okay. I'm telling you, the best play action faker that ever hiked the ball from a center in football was Steve DeBerg. Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
And right behind his ass was Boomer Esiason.
Do you think Tom Brady's behind Boomer?
Tom Brady did not have an exceptionally good play action fake move.
No.
No. Matter of fact, I'd say Joe Flacco's better than him. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Tom Brady's not the guy known for his play action fake move. Man,
I know you and Jeff are the same. Like, I'm not all warm and fuzzy about Flacco, but I really enjoyed watching it. And
he beat
our ass on the Jets just last year, by the way.
I am not warm and fuzzy about Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco is our best option at quarterback right now.
I think so,
too. We were doing what Paul wanted to do, which the Browns invariably, if they have it on a list anywhere, it's shit we're not going to do because Paul wants it. Okay? Because it's okay.
Right. Right. There's that special list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, this we're not going to do because Paul wants to. But hopefully it's not on that list and that Kevin Stefanski is really highly considering it. I think in a move that does not help the probability that Joe Flacco is going to be the starter is Mary Kay Cabot coming out on the greatest Cleveland sports show on WKYC TV3 in Cleveland and saying that it's her opinion that Joe Flacco should be the starter for the rest of the year.
Right. Yes. I think so too.
I think that moves like that by the press to try to pressure Kevin Stefanski into doing what seems obviously right are easier ways to ensure that he does just the opposite of that because his brain is bigger than yours.
You're so stupid. That's so funny. By the way, Jeff mentioned something while we were watching the game, and I thought it was, you know, it was something that I think everybody saw. And we certainly didn't lose the game because of it. But how about that false start call? What in the world? Come on, man.
Wait, no. What in the world? I've gone back and I've looked at the video. Guy moved the ball twice. Our center moved the ball forward twice before
he snapped the ball. And I saw the center for the Rams do the same thing several times.
The center for the Rams didn't do the same thing. I said our guy did what the guy said he did.
I got you. Okay. What doesn't matter so much to me because the NFL is full of shit. Want to know why?
I agree, too.
But let me finish. The NFL is full of shit. Why? Because number one, no. Now you went back and you saw, I'll take your word for it. On the replay, I didn't try to go back and look, but the replay that they showed, I didn't see anything move.
Okay. There's a YouTube video out there, Jeff. I'll try to send you a link to it where they close in on it and everything.
Okay, I got you. I don't want to get into that because I want to finish what I was going to say. There is two plays before, two or three plays before their last play. Their center is on, and you can see it in actual play before he snapped. He moves the ball, then snaps it.
Right.
So if they were so on top of calling that, it should have been called.
Hold on. Let me interject that.
Okay.
What direction did he move the ball?
I don't. From what I know, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. The penalty was moving the ball forward.
I was of the impression you cannot move the ball right before you snap the ball.
That is not true. You see every center that's ever snapped the ball, you'll see them pick that ball up and move it. And as long as it only goes backwards, you're fine. You can't move the ball forward.
I got to look at it.
It's the rule, guys. It's the rule. I've looked it up. It's the rule.
That's why I wanted to finish everything I was going to say. Okay, this is the same team that was in the Super Bowl, and they didn't call a freaking line in now the word's not coming to me. A line infraction on the other freaking team. Aaron Donald lined up past the neutral zone. Neutral zone infraction. Okay, same freaking team, and you dare to call a freaking line call against somebody else after they won a freaking Super Bowl off of you not calling one.
Well, the context of that would have to be that it was the same officiating crew. I think it's fucking bullshit. I understand. I'm just saying that there is a film out there, guys. You can look at it where they zoom in on the ball. It's in the center's hands, and you can hear it with the sound, and it's like scooch, scooch, before he snaps it. It just was exactly what, and the official, as soon as the ball snaps, throws the fucking flag. You can see it's happened. It was like he saw the ball move and he says, if he snaps this fucking ball, I'm throwing this flag. He snapped the ball. They threw the flag.
Well, let me ask you a question.
It says,
so if he didn't snap the ball,
yes.
Okay, he wouldn't have
Hold
thrown
on,
the
flag. Let Jeffrey go.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The rule says is as long as the ball is aligned perpendicular to the line of scrimmage and the ball isn't rotated in end for end, the ball can be both rotated and tilted.
Right. But it can't be moved forward.
Now, the center is also required to pause after he makes adjustments. There are no quick snaps. That's what I'm talking about. You can't do that. Can't do what the guy did. Rotated the ball and snapped.
Right, exactly. See, look, first of all, I agree that the Rams should have been called later in the game in their, you know, that final touchdown drive. Okay, they should have been called for the same thing. So where's the official that's so goddamn...
What I was talking about is I watched him. He rotated the ball, then he snapped the ball. Now, right. I guess in there, maybe there was something that was a pause long enough that granted that. All I know is after they did that, I was watching the goddamn ball. And I watched the motherfucker roll the ball and then snap it.
Yeah, it's almost like they were, look, watch, I'm spinning it. It's
like, And all I'm saying is this.
If
you went back in other sports and you had a team win a Super Bowl that way, the last goddamn thing is I'd be costing another team at the end of the game another a line call. Okay.
Okay, but do you
when you don't want a Super Bowl off a night,
guys? You guys don't really believe that that cost us the game.
No, I don't believe that cost us the game.
That's
not what I was gonna say. Okay. Let me finish. I'm not saying that cost us the game. Do I think it contributed to the pressure in which what caused us the game? Yeah.
How about somebody figures out how to fucking tackle this Nacua motherfucker? Okay. How about that?
Dude, well, there was a pass. He was thrown two passes that made it damn near impossible to be able to tackle him.
Is that the same guy that went off the field with a shoulder injury?
Yes. Stafford threw two passes to him that made it impossible. The touchdown pass, that was undefendable. He was in stride.
So
it was a perfect pass.
More undefendable
okay,
passes
but just listen. Hear me out. Okay,
about it.
Okay, just hear me out. What I'm saying. It's saying why don't we throw more? Because we got shitty quarterback play. Okay.
Okay. Well, we didn't on Sunday. We didn't on Sunday,
but that's one day. This guy's been playing the whole goddamn season with this receiver. Okay. He hit him and perfect. If you watch the replay, he doesn't even stop a second. It was perfect in stride between two defenders. He burnt the whole team. There's no way you can defend that.
I understand the catching of the ball, it being in stride and everything, but how about the five fucking missed tackles down the goddamn field?
I mean, right. I get you on that, but I mean, there was at least two catches he had that were, it was like, he was going to get yards no matter what.
He was going to get yards, but he goddamn near went all the way. Well, the first time he did, okay? The second time, he damn near did again.
All I'm saying is, okay, let me end it with Joe Flacco only really had one detrimental pass, and that was his interception. That was a bad pass.
The only bad pass of the fucking day.
I wouldn't say it was only bad pass, but it was really the only detrimental. The other ones, you could see what he was trying to do. Okay. He almost threaded a crazy needle.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. The ones that were not caught. I'm blaming receivers. Okay. Joe Flacco was steadily, even on the ones where he was threading needles, he was hitting people in hands. When you hit receivers in hands, the ball is supposed to be caught.
Right.
Even the announcers were talking about how he was hitting guys between the numbers. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Njoku dropped one in the numbers. Njoku dropped one that was dead
Mark
in his
Sanchez
number.
Sanchez up? Oh, Mark Sanchez obviously got talked to by the network about his insightful analysis on Kevin Stefanski and why Browns fans should be upset with his ass.
What did he say?
He said nothing. He said nothing. That's no. What he did.
Yeah, well, I think that's bogus and baloney, too.
Well, I understand that, but he said nothing. He made no criticisms of the run balance mix.
See, I think what I think is Kevin Stefanski, okay, we started off
with Mark Sanchez.
You got a quarterback who's throwing decent in the game. He's getting you some yards. And then he ran these running plays that were like, what the fuck are these plays to get first downs? And we're getting stuff.
I figured out why nobody will be critical of Kevin Stefanski. He snuck into the fucking NFL Illuminati party with a camera.
I don't know what's wrong. Okay. But I'll tell you this. This is what I'm going to end with. And you got to let me finish all the way through. Kevin Stefanski, I'm not, because this is, it sounds like something it's not exactly. This is for a particular game in certain aspects. I'm not too much to blame Kevin in this game, other than the fact that, again, and it seems to be his Achilles heel on offense, okay, is he, one, didn't run the ball enough. And even when it looked like the running game was actually taking some control, he didn't run more. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, we had a part of the game where it looked like, okay, their defense looks like it's slowing down, and we just decided we weren't going to run no more, even though there's plenty of time on the clock. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't going to do it anymore, and I think it's silly. Then he started the game off in the running game with whatever kind of play calling in the running game when all we needed to do was punch the ball forward and get the freaking first downs. Okay. We had two drives end on trying to get a first down on a run with whatever freaking running play calls, whatever they were. They weren't punch the ball through the middle and get the first down. That's what they weren't. And then when he finally punched the middle first, to get the first down. We got the first freaking down. And
did it two third downs in a row too.
So I think it was a whole lot of outsmarting ourselves. Okay. One thing I'll say is I don't think he decision making past the running game stuff was a coaching problem on how we lost. Okay.
No, except I would just say, this. That fundamental mix, that fundamental balance, and it doesn't have to be statistically even, but it should be somehow associated with the flow of the game, you know?
Yeah,
true to form, Kevin Stefanski comes out, and thank God for Joe Flacco, who completed it, but first play ever starting for the Browns comes out first down, pass the ball.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm glad it worked, but I was like, why?
That's my point. Why?
Did he have a back in the backfield when he did that?
Yeah, they didn't go empty. They didn't go empty on first down. They wouldn't have done that, would they? I got to go back and look at the replay. I'm not sure, but no, they didn't go empty.
That's one thing that disturbs me is when they go in empty like that. I feel like at least make them think you might run it.
Well, either way, they're going to have base personnel in on first down, first play. All you're doing is looking for what look are they giving you. Okay.
Right.
And then trying to determine as the quarterback with your cadence and everything else that you're doing, if that look is what you're actually getting or if they're going to drop out of it. Or if they're showing that they're going to drop out, if they're actually then going to rush an extra one. That's all you're trying to do.
Another thing I thought about starting Flacco that would be a good idea, and they mentioned it on ESPN 850 radio, is that you can have a more complicated playbook. You don't have to have that simple playbook that you would have for DTR that, you know what I'm saying? You open the playbook up more with Flacco.
Let me give you the downside of that. Okay. You want a guy that can read through all the progressions, but you don't have anything past the first or second level progression that you can reliably trust will even catch the ball if he throws it his way.
Exactly. What, yeah,
it, true. With the That's Cleveland true. Browns receiving corps, why do you need more than one or two reads?
Right. It's like, what? You need more than two reads? Huh? Like, sorry, we can't help you there.
Well, see, the problem is defenses also know this about your receivers. They know the one or two guys they got to cover, and they say, "What the fuck, the other guys? He throws them the ball; they're not catching it."
That's so funny. Yeah,
that's not funny. That's true.
Oh no, it's true, true for sure. Now,
you know, I enjoyed seeing the Bengals beat the Jaguars last night. It gives me hope. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it gave me more than hope. The Bengals injured their starting quarterback, which makes this a more likely win for us. We're back at home. We can pitch some home defense. The defense, statistically, guys, our defense is night and day at home and away. Okay?
It is, and the statistics show it. Yep.
So you get a little home cooking back. You got, I don't even know who's backing up Joey Lawrence. You know, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Joey Lawrence. Yeah, that'd be
even,
good.
Even if Trevor would start, I highly doubt it. He's going to be light duty. So
no, dude, Trevor Lawrence ain't starting this week. The Jacksonville Jaguars are worried whether he's going to be starting at all again this season. Okay. He ain't starting this coming week.
How long is a high ankle sprain? How many weeks is that?
I don't know. It depends. It could be 4 weeks. It could be 6 weeks. Now, high ankle sprain, Jerome Ford had one earlier this year, and he went out a damn game.
Okay? Wow.
You tell me.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence, if he was to play on Sunday, is going to be a mere percentage of his normal effectiveness. Okay?
No doubt.
I mean, matter of fact, if you're the Browns, you might be wishing that Trevor Lawrence starts with a bad ankle.
Okay, no doubt.
I mean, the point is, can the Browns, they got to win these next two games.
Got to have some defense, too.
Dude, bottom line is, they got to beat Jacksonville at home, and they can because they're beatable now because their starting quarterback is out. Okay.
Yep.
If you didn't think things were tight in the North, all of a sudden the fucking Bengals are nipping back at your nose. Okay. They're right behind you.
What are they? Six and six with
a shot at it, dude.
Yep.
Okay. And we keep playing the bad football. We are, and they'll be counting us as their win at the end of the season to get there.
Yeah. Hey, dude, did you think you were seeing things when you looked at that Arizona-Pittsburgh score? I was like, what?
No, I watched the game. I watched the game.
Oh, my God. First of all,
Pittsburgh never had a chance, and they really never had a chance after Pickett went out injured with an ankle injury. Okay?
No shit.
Yeah. Trubisky played the second half, and the game was rain delayed twice for over an hour each time.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
And no. Pittsburgh outright fucking got their ass kicked in that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not shocked at all. I watched it from the beginning. It took Arizona a while to get going, but they did.
I know that they didn't have Kyler Murray when we played him, but we beat him 27-0, if I'm not mistaken.
It was 29-0, I'll remind
you. Something like that.
It was not something like that. It was 29-0. Okay. It was exactly like that. Okay. And no, they did not have Kyler Murray playing. Or Joshua Dobbs. Remember, we got the one game of their rookie. Okay. And it's fortunate for us because that might be a tiebreaker with the Steelers. We need every bit of help we can get, guys.
Yeah, man, it would be nice. to see the Steelers lose again.
I believe that this is a season where you could see the Browns win 10 or 11 games and they do not make the playoffs. They have lost all the wrong games, guys. They're losing tiebreakers every time you turn around.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man, we are not out of it. If we can take at least three out of the next five, I think we're good.
Okay. Which three are those you're going to take? Tell me.
Well, let me look. Go look at the schedule. Hold on. Oh, by the way, the Browns did beat them 27-0 based on that. I think if we could take the Bears, we could take Jaguars. That's two right there. The Jets and the Bengals. I think we got four out of these next five.
Okay. How are you? Did you see what the Bengals did last night?
Yeah, and they didn't play the Browns.
Okay. And how challenging has that been lately?
Well, we are playing them in Cincinnati. That could be different.
And we'll see. We just got beat by the Broncos and the Rams consecutively. I mean, not just beat, handled.
Miles Garrett will be better by that game. Denzel Ward might be back. We might even, I don't know. I think.
Joe Flacco. I'll break it down like this. I'm going to break it down for you. When we started this and we were talking about games we needed to win to ensure the Browns made it, they needed at least three wins. Okay. We were sitting here.
We hadn't had one since, though, have we? We haven't
had one. No, we haven't. Okay. Just three wins and we're locked in. Okay. We lost to the Broncos. Then we lost to the Rams. Those are games we were supposed to win. Those were supposed to be games we were supposed to win.
The Bears was the other one. Were the three.
Yeah,
right?
Right. Exactly. Those are the two games we were supposed to win coming up to a hard game with the Jaguars. I don't know why we keep looking past the Jaguars. I've done it a couple of times too, but that was earlier in the season. The Jaguars are tied for the best record in the league. In AFC, anyway.
With an injured starting quarterback, though, now.
I mean, okay, so we're going to do that. The Browns with an injured starting quarterback go into somewhere where the team is
as good as us. They're playing Jacksonville Cleveland.
Go, regardless of any of that. How does that make them any level playing field, less of a playing field of a good team than who they're coming to play?
Well, let's find out. Who's Jacksonville's backup quarterback?
Yeah, but we'd be saying that about Jacksonville even if we had PJ Walker about to start. Like, that makes it easier. Well, because something.
Up until extremely recently, the Browns defense has been the equalizer for lack of starting quarterback play.
It's still been the equalizer. You can't win when you're going three and outs and putting the other team on the field.
No, I understand that, but they have not. The offense has not been good enough to benefit from the defense. CJ Beathard is the backup quarterback in Jacksonville.
Okay. What a quarterback he is. We're scared right now.
I mean, well, let's be honest.
If CJ Beathard is as good a quarterback as Bobby Beathard was a general manager, maybe he's better than we think he is.
Okay.
I mean, last game was an anomaly. Okay. Last game was the first game this season that our defense just looked inept to who we were playing. LA pretty much handled us.
But we were looking the same way against Denver. We didn't get a sack Denver, on Russell
okay,
Wilson.
Here's my point, though, with Denver. Okay, but here's my point with Denver. The offense did not control the ball, okay? The offense was the literal detriment to the team in Denver. Literal detriment. They kept They kept getting on the field and getting off in a climate, in an area where that just can't happen. Okay. They were a literal definition of detriment in that game. Okay. LA just beat us.
The Browns dominated time of possession, 34 minutes and 3 seconds to 25:57.
LA just beat us. We darn near beat ourselves for the Broncos. Okay. So to me, those are two different kind of losses. Handled in both, yes, but they're two different stories. LA just handled us.
Browns posted what might have been a season best third down conversion rate for themselves at 43.8%.
Wow.
And, okay. All I want to say to you is that inside of a game that fell apart at the end, guys, the Browns fell apart at the end. They were in the game all the way until they fucking weren't. Okay.
Was that about midway through the fourth quarter?
They came out in the second half and got the stop they needed at the beginning of the half and got the ball. And it was like even almost then that the wheels started falling off, wasn't it?
I thought we did halfway decent through the third quarter. I thought at fourth is where we really started screwing up.
Yeah, I will tell you, the moment we lost that game, when we missed that extra point, I saw the air go out of the balloon. They were like, oh my God, we just tied the game. And then, no, we didn't. Now we got to get another score just to get an advantage in this game. And in our scramble to get that score, we ended up not getting anything and then giving it up. Why the fuck we went for it on fourth down? I want to know. Why didn't you punt that ball away? Why? Anybody got a good reason why? When they lined up to go for it on fourth and five, where they were on the field, did anybody agree with that call?
Yeah, no. Nope.
Yeah, no. Okay, there you go. That's it. Yeah, no. That's what Kevin Stefanski should have said when his card told him to do that. He should have said, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Punt the ball. I'm not, listen, I clearly, if I'm going to pull my hair out over Kevin Stefanski's play calling, I am not done. I do want to point this out, give Browns fans perspective, myself as well. The fact that we're still sitting here in the sixth seed, okay, in going into week 14, and we're 7-5 is a fucking miracle, dude. We lost our starting quarterback. Not just once, but twice this year, second time for the rest of the season. Okay? We've been playing. We've actually started three games with a guy named P.J. Walker. And I love P.J. Walker's spirit. If you could bottle spirit, okay, and give his heart, it to team members. Yeah, he's got it. He cannot play the position at the NFL level, though, guys. He just can't do it.
And his height is just a problem.
Okay, if his height's a problem, then that was a problem with Baker Mayfield. It was a problem with fucking every goddamn short-ass fucking quarterback we've ever gotten in Cleveland, which I said at the time, and nobody fucking listened. So why did that? If that was P.J. Walker's only problem, we've gotten over that.
P.J. Walker's 5'11", though.
And Baker Mayfield's not?
No.
No, yes, he is. Because he is no 6-footer.
Okay, whatever.
Baker Mayfield's not 6 feet tall. Okay, I don't give a fuck what he says. Okay, if he's 6 feet tall, so's Antonio Banderas. And I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's no 6-footer.
Okay. He's 5'7".
But that's not what his IMDb page said for years. Said 6'1". In these elevator shoes that I have with my tight pants.
They still got Baker listed as 6'1".
Okay, that's fine. They can list him that way all fucking day. I can look out there on that field and see that he's not.
Hmm.
He's got a permanent stoop or something because he's not 6 foot. There's no. It's not. So I don't want to hear that. It's not his height, because Baker Mayfield, within an inch of that height, okay, can throw the ball down the field. P.J. Walker's problem is he can't throw the ball. Not only that, he can't secure the ball when he's in the pocket. All you got to do is hit him just a little bit, and the ball is out. And that's been the problem. DTR, listen, be prepared for Kevin Stefanski to decide that. What's that picture supposed to be showing me?
That Baker's taller than, what's the name?
Than Russell Wilson. So? Russell Wilson's not 6 foot?
He's 5'11".
Okay. Dude, those are two 5'11 guys standing next to me in the picture you just sent me. Okay?
Baker's ear is higher. His head is higher.
Whatever. That's a perspective issue. That's two guys the same size. Baker Mayfield's 5 foot fucking 11. Stop it. He doesn't play for the Browns, and I don't care. P.J. Walker, the reason he's not a good quarterback isn't that he's 5'11". It's just one of the things that holds him back from being good. The other is arm strength. Then there's ball security. There's I can't read the fucking progression. There's it's all kind of shit wrong with P.J. Walker. Okay? And if this team was going to stand up and do something smart for this team, they'd get Joe Flacco straight the fuck off the practice squad, cut P.J. Walker, and sign some other chump to the practice squad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be unhappy with that. And it's not that I don't like DTR. I think DTR will pan out and be good somewhere. But it's not now. It's not right now, and we don't need it.
Dude, the plan for DTR is to be good somewhere, and that somewhere is Cleveland. He is post Deshaun Watson Cleveland's plan right now. He was drafted by this team.
You know, Deshaun Watson is only 20 pounds heavier than him and the same height.
Okay, I'm just gonna say something to that. That doesn't erase arm talent. I think what some people are forgetting with Deshaun having the shakes and stuff, the reason he was able to have the second half he had, okay, is the guy's always had a cannon. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wait, the word on DTR is that's why they got him, because of his cannon, and the reason. That was being purported by a number of football experts this past week coming into the Rams game was the reason the Browns receivers were having a lot of drops was they can't deal with DTR's velocity.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I don't know
that if didn't that's change.
The ball.
What...
I don't know if that's the ball I was seeing being thrown. I'm not saying you can always see the speed.
Yeah,
or
I
the
don't
muster that's on a ball.
I get what you're saying. Okay, but I've seen speed put on a ball before.
And I football, don't think that was seeing, my eyeballs weren't seeing that with the DTR ball. Were they with you?
No, I think the reason the drop passes have been there with P.J. Walker and DTR is because placement. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now.
Yeah, I don't think it's velocity. I think it's placement.
Joe and had some, now they were dropping Joe's, now, but then they were dropping Joe's passes and some of his. Now, some of his were placement. But they were catchable placement. They were just dropped. Because, like, even Amari dropped one was like, okay, when does Amari drop that pass?
Oh, right. Exactly. It's like.
Njoku dropped one in his chest.
And Njoku's been very disturbing with his drops lately.
It was in his chest.
Here's one thing. I agree with Mary Kay Cabot. She got on. She was talking a lot of shit today on the greatest sports show. But one of the things, she called Njoku out. Now, here's a guy that's making $13.5 million this season. He's making top tight end money, and he's not delivering top tight end performance.
Yeah, okay, I agree.
He disappears in the red zone.
Okay, but it's the kind of plays they call. You can't blame a guy who's not being put in a position. It's not like they're running Antonio Gates plays out there looking for him to make a play in the back of the end zone with his size. They don't run those plays.
Well, no. We're talking about the ones where they do run a play for him. He is the primary. The ball's thrown to him, and he drops it. He's dropped 5 end zone touchdown balls in the last 7 weeks.
Okay. I mean, he did drop one in the last game. It was an end zone play.
Yeah.
Now, it was an end zone play in which he was totally clobbered. He still probably should have caught it being an elite guy. If that's what he's going to be. But what I'm still saying is, okay, I said this in the last podcast about Njoku, okay? Mm-hmm. They do not run regular-ass tight end plays for Njoku. They have him in this sort of like almost a check down spot so that he can get yak, okay? That's great. He gets great yak. That's awesome. That should not take away... I have not seen them run the plays like they ran him last year. Njoku got big yardage for us last year.
Right, but if you'll remember, and it's the one aspect of the Browns passing game that has not been there this year, and we just actually started to see some of it with Flacco, those are over-the-middle plays, over-the-middle second tier, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field, hit him in stride.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can't totally blame Njoku when you expect this top tier tight end performance and you're not going to throw him the ball past 10 yards. Like,
well, no,
we haven't past 10 yards.
I get that. But I'm just saying is that if you're going to call anything out, if you're going to get on, you know, you're the Browns beat reporter and you're going to get on a TV show locally in Cleveland and start calling shit out. If you're going to call out a player, an individual player who's getting paid to deliver and who hasn't, who has been self-critical because he's been dropping so many balls, it's David Njoku on this team right now. Now, is David Njoku the reason we haven't been winning games? Hell no.
No.
Okay. But trying to force your head coach's hand by saying, undoubtedly, Joe Flacco should be the starter for the rest of the season straight on out. That's what I believe. That's what fans believe. And there's going to be noise in Cleveland if that ain't so. Basically is kind of what she put down. Okay? Kevin Stefanski is just that guy, guys. I'm just telling you, do not be surprised if you hear DTR has been named starter.
Ooh. So did you see... That Browns appear to have made a decision regarding Kevin. Upper echelon people like that what he's been doing and how he's been leading the team.
You know, there is absolutely no way in the face of what the Browns have gone through this year, and the Browns are still in playoff contention, that anybody upper echelon in the team is going to be unhappy with what he's done. Any other year. The Browns, in the condition they're in now, from an injury standpoint, would not be in the thick of things. That can be, look, anybody that's watching this with an level of objectivity knows that Jim Schwartz is the reason that is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, Kevin Stefanski hired Jim Schwartz. Okay. All right. Good. Good for
you. Boy, did you see the frustration on Jim Schwartz's face? As he was watching the defense in this last game, he was
I did not see frustration on his face. I seen pure pissed off. He lit into them boys. Let me tell you, there weren't no celebrations in the back locker room at the end of that game.
No.
No, Jim Schwartz wasn't frustrated. Jim Schwartz was easy. Them boys are gassed this week. Okay. And they even run their gassers yet. Those don't come till tomorrow. And they are already gassed.
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz doesn't look like a guy that takes that shit, does he?
No, doesn't at all.
All right. Not one bit. I just want you to understand that he is going to be nice and fucking calm when he talks to the press before the games on Friday. Okay? But he's not going to be that way with his defense on Wednesday during practice. I can guarantee you that. The only guy that gets a pass is Miles, the big guy.
I want to ask you both. I really do believe that if we play the type of football, the brand of football that of when we do win, I think that we can win this game. What do you think?
I think we're going to win every game we've got left at home.
Okay.
That's not enough to get us there, guys.
We got 3 games left at home out of 5. Uh-huh. That makes us 10 and what?
That would be 10.
And 6?
Yeah.
10 and 7, maybe. No.
Okay, but you think 10 wins is going to be enough? Is that what you think?
No, I don't. I've heard it said that it would be, though. I don't think it is.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be. Not with all the teams coming on and winning games that we're supposed to be losing.
So
how many teams are at 7-5 in the AFC right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of people I know.
No, it's not a lot. It's like goddamn everybody.
But what I'm saying is we do this. Browns fans do this every fucking year. You start teetering and you're losing shit that you should be winning. And then we have this false confidence that, the Jaguars ain't really good because, you know, yeah, man. And they're just not really good. Right. No, this is the problem. I'm going to be honest. OK, I'm not saying DTR is going to end up being crap, but you just watched a quarterback who sat on his ass whole year, come in and on cold ice turkey right off his ass, okay, is throwing strikes, okay? And we're sitting here, we're looking at DTR and PJ Walker, and we're sitting here talking about earlier on the podcast, we were talking about how important it is to hit a guy in stride on a right. slant, whether it's good enough that it's just catchable, okay? And we got a game where we see 2 old guys throwing strikes to guys in stride and putting in stuff in position, you know, all that stuff that you're supposed to see an elite quarterback do. While then we look at DTR and PJ Walker and talk about how, well, maybe we can't. No, DTR has been shit. Okay. Yes, he's young, and young quarterbacks look like shit when they're young. So I'm not saying that he's going to be shit,
but all this DTR stuff, right?
DTR has looked like shit. He has looked like literal
anything he's not supposed to be right now.
No, I didn't say he's not anything he's supposed to be.
He was a 5th round draft pick, and that's exactly what he's playing like.
Yes, I'm not saying he hasn't showed sparks of some promise to what he can be, but he's looked like poo. PJ Walker has looked like poo. Okay, there's a reason we're not winning the games. It's because our quarterback play looks like literal poo. And if it keeps on looking like poo, if they don't play Flacco and they don't run the ball the way they're supposed to, they're not going to win 3 more games for there even to be a concept of them getting to the playoffs.
Here's how bad it is, guys. You remember now, and this looked like this all season long, that the AFC North was going to put at least 3 teams in the playoffs, right? Look who's right behind the North now with 2 teams at 7-5 and the leader of the division at 8-4. And that's the AFC South. You got the Texans and the Colts, both 7-5. The Texans have won 4 of their last 5 games. Okay?
So, Jeff, with all that poop talk, you're saying we can't beat the Texans in Texas. Is that what you're saying to me? You're trying to tell me that?
Not without no good quarterback play. And by the way, I want to point out, I haven't just started being this way about quarterbacks throwing slants. I was the one that didn't like Derek Anderson, even when he won the MVP, because the motherfucker couldn't throw a slant. I never liked Winkie. Never liked him. You know why? Because one of the first games he played,
Derek Anderson won MVP of something.
He didn't win MVP. He went to the Pro Bowl. I'm sorry. I totally misspoke. He did not win MVP. The wrong words came out my mouth. Sorry. The wrong words came out my mouth. He went to the Pro Bowl. I'm sorry.
What science fiction year was that?
Yeah. I was talking fast and words just flipped it out.
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It was. He went to the Pro Bowl. I'm sorry. He went to the Pro Bowl that year. Okay. And he did, but he went to the Pro Bowl off of yoinking passes downfield to Quincy Morgan. That must
have been like the Earth where Omni-Man exists.
Yeah, well, right? So let me finish. He got to the Pro Bowl just yoinking passes downfield to Quincy Morgan. Once the next season, the other team said, okay, we're going to take away this mess and make you throw the ball. He couldn't throw a slant.
Right. No, he can't. He couldn't. Well, I used to joke. It wasn't far off, but. Hell, Derek Anderson couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Okay.
The only reason he ever had completed passes is because Braylon Edwards could jump up and go.
Yeah, it was Braylon Edwards, not Quincy Morgan. I'm sorry. It was Braylon Edwards. That's right. But regardless, he couldn't hit a crossing route or a slant to save his freaking life. Chris Winkie couldn't hit a crossing route or a slant to save his freaking life. Okay? Those are two historic big-armed perfect size quarterbacks we've had in the past, right? Where everybody was making all the excuses in the world that they should get a second chance after looking like crap and they couldn't hit a freaking crossing route or a slant. If you can't hit a crossing route or a slant, I'm spectating it, I'm liable to call them poo. And I'm going to continue to call them poo. DTR has not been able to hit a guy in stride on a crossing route or a slant. I'm going to call him poo.
Right. Yeah, call it what it is, man. And here's the thing.
Is that like Winnie Poo?
Well, no. Winnie did poo. That's it. Winnie, why'd you do that?
PJ Walker was so bad on it. This last game that we saw him in, I think he had like two straight ones he threw behind the receiver.
I want to take you guys back in time. Back into a simpler time. This is when PJ Walker had to play. And you remember we won that game. Okay. And
he looked like poo in it.
Oh, he looked like poo in it, but I got just such a kick.
But he did good enough to win.
No, but at some point in the post-game press conference, right? Somebody asked him about his inexperience. The question was, you know, based on the fact that, well, you're not a very good quarterback. So how'd you do it? And he's like, you know, we're all here for a reason.
And by the way, this is not me trying to over-criticize a professional player in a one percenter sport. Okay. All those guys got talent. Okay.
Oh, yeah. PJ Walker was exactly right. Nobody's here. Nobody's here because they're not supposed to be. It's hard to get here where I'm standing.
Yes, he's totally right about that.
Coming out of PJ Walker, it seemed so. Oh yeah.
But within that perspective, and what I'm trying to voice, okay? Because and I'm totally aware of the fact you can see one guy in one place and he just can't do these things. He goes somewhere else and all of a sudden he's elite and he can do it. Okay. Well. Yes. My point, though, is that the quarterback play has not been there. We just watched Joe Flacco do things in that game that have not been being done all year. Not that they haven't been attempted. They haven't been done.
I think that Kevin Stefanski has a bit of a little problem on his hand this week. Do you want to be the guy that's going to go tell DTR he's not the starter?
Yeah, I would.
If you that's your job.
I don't see how
listen, guys, I understand what you're saying as a Browns fan based on what you've seen at the quarterback position and what you saw this last Sunday. I get that. But I'm talking about a player who was in concussion protocol, and we're being told all that week, listen, if he comes through protocol, he's the starter. And the only reason that Flacco started is that by Friday, he hadn't cleared protocol. Well, he's cleared protocol now, guys. What do you do?
I'm sorry, man. If you
you're trying to tell me that one performance in one game that was a loss is enough to take the starting job from a guy who didn't do anything to not, I mean, he got knocked out of a game on a concussion.
Yeah, he did, but I would say that the defense had more to do with winning than he did in those games. That he did
they
win.
Have more to do with losing in that game? Come on, it's the Broncos game.
Well,
did you lose that game because of DTR?
I would say that it was certainly partially due to DTR.
Really? How many interceptions did he throw in that game?
I'm not talking about interceptions. I'm talking about how many points did we score?
Okay. Dude. If I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to go back and look at this, but it might have been DTR's best game. Okay? Statistically. I'm going to look right now.
I want, yeah. And you just said it was his best, so it better be good.
Well, no, none of his games have been good. I'm done telling you that. But the guy you're saying hands down should replace him, and we're all going to be pissed off if he doesn't, just lost the game. His performance didn't win the game.
That's the problem. I don't think that he lost the game. Kevin and the defense lost that game.
Okay. The game was a loss. Okay? I'm not going to parse this. The game was a loss. Okay? The game was no more Joe Flacco. It was no more Joe Flacco's fault that we lost that game than it was DTR's fault we lost against the Broncos.
I would venture to say that Flacco's number in this game were better than DTR's in that Denver game. That's what I would bet on.
How much do you want to bet? Are you talking about
$20?
Hold on. Are you talking about quarterback rating?
No, I'm talking about statistics.
That is statistics.
Passes completed, yards. Yeah.
Okay. He threw no interception. He threw a touchdown. He was 14 for 29 with a quarterback rating of 73.1. Okay. Joe Flacco.
How many yards did he throw for?
Just hold on. Okay. I just told you that, but stand by. Joe Flacco was 23 of 44 for 254, two touchdowns, but a pick for a 75.4. As a quarterback rating, they're virtually a dead heat. 73.1, 75.4. That 2.3 difference in quarterback rating, and DTR threw for 134 yards. Okay, but we rushed for 107. We only rushed for 87 against the Rams.
Mm.
What I'm trying to tell you is that you're the head coach of this team. You're considered a player's coach because you openly communicate with your players and everybody knows what's going on. Well, the players understood that DTR wasn't starting because he was concussed. Not because of poor play. Nobody had decided to start Joe Flacco over DTR, okay, because of poor play. That was not the decision. The decision was Joe's our number two now. If DTR is not available, he goes. So based on the way we went into that game, if nothing's changed, then DTR starts.
I don't think anybody on the Browns, including Kevin, and I'm giving him a big big DTR break here, thinks that they should be starting DTR over Flacco after what they saw.
Start DTR and lose, okay? They deserve every bit of crap they get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I agree.
If they start DTR and lose, Kevin Stefanski being the coach next year is a joke.
What if they start Flacco and lose?
Then you can still view it as they did everything they could.
At some point,
if you start DTR and lose at this point,
now, hold on. But DTR's done nothing to get benched.
Done nothing not to get benched. Okay,
Neither is Joe.
Here's a comment.
Joe threw a pick that literally turned the tide of the game.
This is okay. True. He threw a pick that turned the tide of the game. He also was asked to throw 80 million freaking times and not run the ball.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's. The DTR was asked to throw the ball 44 times, which ironically is the very same amount of times that we threw. Well, not two. Joe Flacco threw the ball 44 times.
All I know
is in the game that DTR went out, we threw the ball 42 times.
Okay.
We ran the ball 24 times against the Broncos. We ran the ball 23 times against the Rams. Virtually identical game plan.
Okay. Well, guess what? The quarterback he's got in Flacco, the guy won a Super Bowl, and when he won it, he had a running game.
So
I understand that, but I'm arguing for a little sanity here, guys. Going into the game on Sunday, we all knew that DTR was the starter and Joe was the number two. The number two plays if the number one can't go, but when the number one gets healthy, until somebody says Joe Flacco's the number one quarterback, then he sits if the one guy's ready.
It shouldn't
be a question in people's minds, okay? And until head coach comes out and says, I've made Joe Flacco my starter, expecting Joe Flacco to start is unrealistic for Browns fans.
I just think that it's absolutely ridiculous, and everything you're saying is true, by the way. I agree with that. I just think that what I know about football, what anybody who I knows about football, and what greater minds than I know about football, regardless of the protocol, would say, you know, we got to find a way to start Joe Flacco out. We don't have time to wait and fucking see in these next five games. Fuck that.
Well, what I'm telling you is, and again, I have no history at all with Kevin Stefanski ever making a change at quarterback in game that he didn't have to because of injury.
Right. I get you. Yeah.
Okay. If I had any faith in the coach to where, okay, start the kid. If he starts to struggle, put Joe in. Okay. Well, we're always worried about hurting somebody's fucking feelings. So, you know,
yeah, no time. Hey, wait a minute. You don't have faith in Coach Kevin? I'm sorry. Did we say that again?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No. I'm just saying. Anyway, let's look at these. Let's look at some stats here, guys.
Ooh, we.
They ran the ball and they passed the ball, and they kicked the ball. How about that? They did all those things in that game.
And our field goal kicker missed a chip shot for an extra point.
Fucking bullshit. You know, I'm like, you know, you're fucking kidding me.
You can't make this shit up. Excuse me.
Again, Brown's schedule real quick, just so I can look at this and I can tell you exactly what's going to happen, guys. I can tell you this. I can predict the future. The future is okay. I'm going to give us every home game. Okay. We're going to beat the Jaguars. We're going to beat the Bears. And we're going to beat the Jets. That makes you 10-7 if you lose the other two. So the question games come down to the two big games of the year, dude. Far as I'm concerned, if you handle business and you win this week, then the Bears, obviously you can't overlook them every game. Every game's important, one at a time, just like Kevin says.
Right.
1-0 this week. I don't know. I've been watching the Texans, guys. I don't know how you're going to go into Texas and beat the Texans.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
No, it's going to be impossible for the team I've been watching play in the Cleveland Browns uniforms. They can't do it unless something drastically changes about the way they're playing football.
You know what your problem is? You have no faith.
No, I've been watching these teams, dude. I'm sorry. I've watched the Texans. I've watched C.J. Stroud and the Texans as led by D'Amico Ryans. I've watched them. And our team can't beat that team right now.
Yeah.
The kind of football we've been playing ain't going to beat many teams.
No. If you play, and let's face it, man, this was a West Coast journey. Started off real bad with thin air in Denver. Yeah, I get it. Whatever. You still should have won that game. And then you definitely should have won the LA game, which I was like, I thought when I saw that first drive, Joe, I just knew we had this. And then it slowly was like, what is going on?
And I just want to say this to you guys about the DTR, okay? Did he start against the Ravens? No, he did not. That was Watson's last game, right?
Right.
Okay. You know, he comes out, his first start, he beats the Steelers, dude.
Yeah.
And then he comes out, he gets concussed out of the fucking game in his second start, and you guys just want to throw him on a trash heap. No. Talk about no faith.
I know, right? Yeah. You know, I was just going to say that guy was not fined for that hit. But I looked at that over and over again, and he got hit in the chin with his shoulder. So
if he hit him in the chin with his shoulder, it was a perfectly legal hit.
But that's the head. You're not supposed to aim with the
head. You don't understand. It's head to head. You can't play the football game and guys don't get hit in the head. That's why they wear helmets. Okay, you're not supposed to initiate head-to-head contact.
Yeah, man, he was bleeding from the mouth.
He targeted the chest, okay? DTR had his head down, okay? Quite frankly, the guy did not get fined, which he should not have been fined. Quite frankly, and I've looked at the thing, and it was unfortunate because it did concuss and knock your quarterback out the game with a bloody lip. But it was not an illegal shot. It was per the rules. He shouldn't have even been flagged for it.
Yeah, well,
it is what it is. I mean, now listen, we got the penalty for it. He was flagged for it. There's plenty of times we've been flagged for unnecessary roughness. It shouldn't have been, but hey, it stood. Not reviewable. By the way, those plays are not reviewable.
No.
So it was what it was, but I'm not holding that against the Broncos guy. And I heard something come out and say, well, he didn't get fined. He should have been fined. No, he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been penalized. I mean, I think one thing the Browns fans can do for themselves is to understand that this team is in a place they ain't got no business being based on, you know, the health of the squad or anything else. So all of this, you know, when they say, you know, anything past this is a bonus. We've been in bonus time since 3 weeks ago, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
This is all a bonus now. You're getting more than you should have ever thought you were going to get out of this season based on the events as they unfurled.
Yeah.
So make the playoffs or not, as a Browns fan, you have got to be happy about the effort. Now, if you're, like me, and you're concerned about what the sustainability of this is and can this ever equal winning, I can tell you, you get all my players healthy again, and you got Kevin Stefanski calling the game he's calling, and you still got problems, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Okay, but that problem for yet another year will not be addressed because Kevin Stefanski will be praised at how far he got this team despite all these injuries.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I tell you this, whoever was being critical of Cincinnati's head coach up till last night should shut the fuck up now, right?
Yeah, right.
Because he got his quarterback prepared. He did. And that guy played. That guy balled out last night.
Hey, did you hear what Sean McVay said?
What who said?
Sean McVay.
What about him?
He said this about Myles Garrett. He says, hey, I want you to know that you ruined my fucking week just worrying about you, all right? McVay said, leaning toward the open window.
Yeah. Well, no, I get that. That's I would. If you had Myles Garrett coming to town, wouldn't you?
Yep.
But let me say this for Sean McVay. All that worrying he did paid off because they handled Myles Garrett that game.
Yeah, they did.
But I was watching Miles to look for signs that his shoulder was keeping his play at a level that wasn't commensurate with him. That wasn't the case.
He got back there. They just did a good job of keeping the quarterback away from where he had to, where he was going to get back at. He had to get around things. He never got to the quarterback, even though he got in the backfield.
Listen, guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be without Kenny Pickett, maybe for the rest of the year, depending on how severe the ankle is.
That's one word that could end up being, I mean,
look at it, Matt Ryan.
You know, that could be a plus.
Well, I don't know. See, as bad as Pickett looks sometimes, Trubisky is just infinitely fucking worse.
But here's my point. Okay, I get what you're saying in that. Okay, but you can't take bad quarterback play and not stir. You could end up getting the two games that Trubisky is going to be good. Okay.
Well, not if he plays like he did when he came in for Pickett.
So let me use this as an example. No, let me use an example for you. That's like you seeing the Browns and they had DTR all year and you go, damn, DTR just went down. Okay. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter at that point. If it's bad quarterback play, okay, you can have a guy come in and have his one good game of the year through it. We don't know what's going to happen. Pickett just hasn't been playing good enough for you to go, whoa, they don't have Pickett. They can't possibly beat us. Now, it's not the same as not having Burrow, where you literally have a team that's been relying on good quarterback play to win.
Yeah, true.
Okay. And then saying, hey, man, that's really going to be a disadvantage to Cincinnati. It is, because their normalcy is good quarterback play. You can't take a team that's winning with bad quarterback play and go, well, dang, they don't going to have that quarterback. What are they going to do? The quarterback would have to, literally will have to come out and throw a shit show.
Mm-hmm. Well, which Mitch Trubisky is perfectly capable of.
Yes.
Perfectly capable of. I'm just saying. But, okay, guys, so here we got Jaguars coming to town. Let's see what the status on Trevor Lawrence is. I keep wanting to call him Joey Lawrence, and no, we don't. If Joey Lawrence was a quarterback, we'd be fine. Status of Trevor Lawrence. I'm typing this into Google now. He suffers ankle injury. He has a high ankle sprain. Let's see. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence suffered a right high ankle sprain against the Bengals on Monday night, but escaped further damage. Doug Peterson said. Peterson said the Jaguars would evaluate Lawrence later in the week, and he wouldn't completely rule out the possibility of Lawrence playing Sunday. So we could be facing Trevor Lawrence.
This is off the subject, but just some history. Ohio State fans, a lot of Ohio State fans wanted Ryan Day to bench CJ.
Stroud?
CJ Stroud after the home loss to Oregon and put Kyle McCord in.
Speaking of Kyle McCord, you see he's transferring away from Ohio State.
Yeah, no doubt. They couldn't go anywhere with him. They need to get somebody else. Although he might end up doing decent. But he's no Joe Burrow. I'm sorry.
Okay, but Joe Burrow wasn't good enough to start in Ohio State, obviously. He had to transfer out and go to Clemson.
Yeah, well, maybe Kyle McCord would prove everybody wrong. Before he could
play. And he wasn't playing behind C.J. Stroud.
Maybe Kyle McCord will prove everybody wrong. I don't know.
He wasn't playing behind C.J. Stroud either. Remember, Joey Burrow left because they were starting who over him? Justin Fields.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking you, who's the better quarterback, Joey Burrow or Justin Fields?
Right now, Joey Burrow, but I think...
Not right now. Back then, he was.
I think Justin Fields way better than what he's looking, and I think it's because of Chicago. I think they either need to get a new...
Justin Fields has not... Justin Fields was not a better quarterback than Joe Burrow when they were both in Ohio State, no more than he is today. Okay? I'm not telling you that Justin Fields didn't do what he did on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Not saying that. But to let a guy like Joey Burrow, who went on to win the national championship, okay, and come on, man, with nothing but a quarterback and a receiver, the Bengals have gone to the AFC championship twice in 3 years under Joe Burrow. And one of those years all the way to the Super Bowl. They didn't win the thing, but they went in his second year at quarterback, dude. Good is not exactly the word for Joe Burrow, okay?
Yeah, right.
The fact that they got a backup at all that could come in, I mean, the way they got played last night, I was expecting to see a basic Jacksonville Jaguars party last night. And yeah. That did not happen.
Not to bring any more college football, but I'm sure you guys have seen that Florida State didn't make it in and how poorly they were treated with the rankings. That was just horrible.
Well, I don't know if it was that horrible. ACC, dude, if you think.
13-0.
Uh-huh. And I tell you this right now. A one-loss Alabama is better than an undefeated ACC squad. The SEC squad conference, top to bottom, is better than the whole of the ACC.
Okay.
It's I'm sorry. When it's all said and done and there's nothing left but three super conferences, right? The ACC won't exist. It'll be the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying I have to root for Alabama now.
Here's the problem. Any team, including the Buckeyes, right now that got, shifted out from the college playoffs, must understand this, that if this were next year, you'd be in the playoffs. There's going to be eight teams in the playoffs next year, and it's going to be more like right, and there'll be less disgruntlement, and there'll be an actual tournament to determine the college football champion. Okay? Next year's college football champion will be as legitimate a college football champion as there's been in as long as you can remember.
No doubt.
So let's look forward to that and just call this the one last year that they're going to just give the fucking trophy to goddamn Alabama. Okay, because Bama won the game they had to, and I don't see anything that's going to stand in their way left. Okay, and to me, it's Alabama's championship to lose now.
Okay. Yep, it sure is, and I hope they whoop on that Michigan ass.
I don't think Michigan's going to make it to the final game.
Okay. I hope not.
I think Michigan gets beat first round.
Hey, who's Brandon Marshall?
Used to be a wide receiver for the Bears and a bunch of other teams.
Oh, here we go. He says, leave Justin Fields alone. Leave Justin Fields alone. Get the coaching system right. Justin is special. Put him in the right situation. So I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, and I don't care because it's the Bears.
Because we are Browns fans.
Well, not only that, I've never liked the Bears. Even when they had players I liked, I didn't like the team.
Oh, I get it. I get that.
I don't like the Bears, so not, you know, seeing the Bears do bad doesn't do bad for me at all. I mean, if I cared about a team in the NFC North, it wouldn't be the Packers. It wouldn't be the Bears. Fuck the Lions. I guess it's the Vikings. Okay. Because I don't give a shit. The only thing I care about the Bears is for them to do their job and come to Cleveland and let us beat them.
Right. So
you have just the one job to do, Chicago, just the one.
We have to collectively, as Browns podcasters, believe that the Browns will win four or five out of the next five.
No, no, not going to do that.
You got to believe.
By the way, those days are so fucking long gone. I am not that guy. I will not be that guy. No, the Browns are going to have to show me. Okay. I am here to root for you. But I am not going to double stamp or endorse the stupidity that I see going on the sidelines coming out of Browns head coaches. Okay? You know, listen, the one thing that's nice about this head coach, he's better than Hugh Jackson. Okay? I'll say that. All right?
Yep. Yep. Any predictions?
Oh, no, you start. You tell me.
I feel decent about this game at home. Okay. Away from the West Coast in the elements. I think that, like you said, statistically, the defense picks up. And I think, well, I mean, we don't know who we're starting, but I would assume that either way, we're going to have enough offense. I'm going to call it 17-14.
Okay. About you, Jeff. Hello.
I think Jeff may have fell asleep.
Okay. Are you with us? No? Okay. Anyway, well, I'll tell you what. I got a feeling, and I don't know if I'm right, and I'm not saying this because of any other thing, but I think that at some point, even those of us that are enamored with our own abilities come down on the side of, well, it just makes fucking sense. And I think Joe Flacco is going to start this game. Okay. I'll say this. If Joe Flacco struggles at all. Okay. He'll be the first time you've seen Kevin Stefanski make an in-game change on quarterback that wasn't necessitated by injury.
And I think that goes vice versa as well.
No, I don't. If DTR starts the game, Kevin Stefanski will not pull him. He will lose with him. He will die on that field.
Ooh-wee.
I'm sorry. I just believe that that's the what that's the this head coach. Okay. I think that Kevin Stefanski, if he starts Joe Flacco, is going to do it because it's the only sensible thing to do. Okay. But that if he has one reason, one solitary reason to pull him and put DTR in, he will.
I don't think Joe will ever give him that reason. I don't see that happening at all.
He throws another pick, he will.
I don't think one pick is worth pulling him.
I think it'll be enough for Kevin to do it. Like I said, it'll be the first time you've ever seen it. Okay? The Kevin Stefanski made a quarterback change that wasn't necessitated by injury. Okay?
Okay. All right.
But you will do it. If he starts Joe and Joe struggles, he'll pull him quicker than kicking a bad habit.
All right. Okay.
Because Kevin Stefanski wants the credit of getting this team wherever it gets.
Okay.
You ain't figured out this is all about him?
Yeah, well, we'll we got at least one more year of him. That's so we'll see what happens there.
Well, we're inside word. Inside word is Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry ain't going anywhere anytime soon. It ain't 1 year. You've got multiple years left, and they are not in thinking about doing anything but extending Kevin Stefanski.
No doubt. Yeah. Yep. That's what I read. And well.
And anyway, stability at head coach is important.
Yeah. Boy, we've talked more about this loss than we have about the wins.
Well, yeah. Anyway, Jeff, you got any predictions for the game, or are you still not with us? Hello. Okay, I think he's really gone.
Yep. Well. Okay,
so we're going to get the heck on out of Dodge on this one then. Hold on. Let me get this shit right. Let's start this going. And that's it. Another episode of TBF, a Browns Fans Podcast. Looking forward to an important game in Cleveland on Sunday, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Will it or won't it be Trevor Lawrence? We don't know. But one thing we do know is that we'll be getting back together next week and talking about it. So in the meantime, the in-between time, and until it's that time, what time's that? Time for Paul, Q, and Jeff to get together and talk about the Browns' victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're out.
This has been a Basement Tapes production. Yeah.